Matt Williamson and Ryan McDowell.
Welcome into another edition of the Dynasty Blueprint. I'm your host, Ryan McDowell, joined as always by Matt Williamson. Matt, how are you doing today?
I'm tremendous, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Ready for week five. It's coming quickly. I can't believe we're a third of the way through the fantasy regular season. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. Wow. Quarter of the way through the regular season and didn't even look at it through the fantasy lens, but wow, you're right.
Yeah, so if you're 0-4, if you're 1-3 right now, you need to be making some new plans, changing your strategy, making some moves, selling some of those old pieces and getting some picks. And then of course, if you're sitting at the top 4-0, you're really in control. You can make moves the other way.
Absolutely. A good guest today. This is going to be a fun show.
We do. Yeah, we've got my buddy Dan Myler from DLF. He's a writer over there with me at DLF and also one of the hosts of the DLF Dynasty DLF Dynasty podcast. Man, sorry about that, Dan.
No worries. I'd love to be involved with you guys. Anything that puts me in the same sentence as the two of you is fine with me.
Oh, man. I don't know about that. We're glad to have you.
You got to aim higher than that.
No, thanks for having me, guys. I've been looking forward to it. I appreciate the invite.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. This is a show that we did, a similar topic that we did last year. I think we had your buddy, Dan, Jeff Miller, on to do this.
Oh, he was topic. He was probably a lot more entertaining than I'll be. Hopefully I can give a few more useful nuggets than Jeff did. But I'm sure your audience laughed a lot more than they will tonight. At least at me.
Yeah. Jeff is a good guess for sure. But Dan, what we're going to talk about today is the rookie landscape, and we're actually going to do a dynasty rookie draft do-over. Most of my rookie drafts took place way back in May, almost as soon as the NFL draft ended. I don't know about what your all's leagues are like, but of course those rookie drafts take place anywhere from May up through almost the beginning of the regular season. And some even happen, I guess, before the NFL draft in a few diehard leagues. But we're going to redo the rookie draft. Lots of things have changed. We know about that. And Dan, I really wanted to have you on to do this because I know that's kind of your expertise over at DLF. You write the weekly rookie report card. Just tell us a little bit about that series that you do.
Yeah, a few years ago, the idea kind of came to me. Actually, somebody had written something similar, and I thought it would be fun to, while the season is going on, to revisit my thoughts from back during draft season, like you were talking about there, Ryan, and then how those thoughts have changed now that the bullets are flying and we're playing regular season games. It's really interesting to me. Like you mentioned, some rookie drafts are really early in the process. Some are really late. I actually am in a couple of those leagues that draft right before the kickoff of the regular season, late August. And I stay in them just for that reason, because it's a different animal. It's a different game. And then I write the rookie report card because it keeps you, it's kind of a reminder of not only what I think now that I've seen them playing in NFL games, but also what I thought back a few months earlier when they were drafted by these NFL teams. It's really amazing. And it's good for any dynasty owners to revisit their thoughts. You can learn a lot, first of all, what I thought back then and what I feel now. Why was I wrong about this player? What did I think then that isn't true now that he's playing in the NFL on Sundays? And vice versa, man, I was right about this guy. I really liked him more than anybody else. Why was I right? And hopefully you can take that and a year later use what you learned there and use it to your benefit.
Yeah, I think that's well said. And since Ryan, we've done this a couple times now where we've done a mock going back and doing a rookie draft. And it amazes how much they've changed, you know, just in 2-3 weeks or a month, or, you know, so much changes. There's a couple guys I have on my list that I wouldn't have taken in the fourth round. And even at the top of the board has changed for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there's changes all around, and I agree. That was well said by Dan. It's so easy for us to lose that perspective and to even forget what we thought about players before they stepped onto the field. It really does change everything once you see them in action, or in some cases, once you see them just standing on the sidelines. That changes things too. Dan, some of the players that you've covered so far in your rookie report card this year are Dalvin Cook, DeShone Kizer, Chris Carson, Kareem Hunt, Tariq Cohen, and Gerald Everett. First of all, I'm a little worried maybe you're jinxing some of these guys with Carson and Cook both getting hurt last week. Maybe I should be worried about Kareem Hunt this coming up week. I don't know. But with those guys, and we'll get into more of them as we do this draft soon, but anything stand out on any of those guys that you'd like to share?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me out of that entire group is it's going to be sound kind of negative, but I have never been on the DeShone Kizer bandwagon. And anybody that read that article might have come away thinking, wow, he's a real hater. Holy cow, he doesn't like him at all. And I was one of those guys that were in the boat of that he should have stayed in college. He really should have. And all those little things that I watched him do at Notre Dame, all the little tendencies to pull off of open receivers and the things, let he's so typical that when he drops back and the first guy isn't wide open, he wants to tuck the ball and run. And that's something that just doesn't translate to Sundays, at least from what I've ever seen. And I'm no scout or anything, but I watch a lot of football, and quarterbacks that constantly do that, won't throw to a receiver when he's a half a step open, that's a guy that's wide open in the NFL. And in college, he always needed the guy to be three steps open. He absolutely will not go to a second read at times, which is annoying to watch. And he won't pull the trigger when a guy's open. So, you know, Kizer's the one that I kind of wanted to be wrong on. I wanted to, because so many people were high on him. And I wondered to myself, what am I missing here? And through four games, at least, and I know he's a rookie and he's playing against NFL defenses for the first time, I'm just not on board with that guy. So, you know, the other guys, we could go on and on about all of them, but, you know, the injuries, I was hoping you weren't going to bring that up, Ryan, because it did seem like a little bit of a hex. You know, this week I wrote about Aaron Jones and Elijah McGuire, two kind of low-end running backs that should release in the next couple of days, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed that both of them stay healthy.
Yeah, for Green Bay's sake, I hope Jones can stay healthy. They're running out of running backs. All right, well, let's get the draft started. We're going to try to do two rounds here tonight, and as we always do, we're going to let our guest go first. So, Dan, you have the 1.01 pick in our rookie draft do-over.
So, just on Sunday, I redid my rookie ranks. At DLF, that's what I contribute to the rankings, and it kind of fits in since I do the rookie report card. And through the season, I try to keep them updated. And I moved Kareem Hunt all the way up to one. So I'm gonna take him. I wrote at the end of the rookie report card that I did on Hunt after week one that I said something along the lines of we probably saw his best game of the year, and maybe we saw the best game of his career on that opening night against the Patriots. And now a few weeks later, I'm not so sure that's true. He really looks good. A lot of the things that were concerns for me are not concerned. He's so good after contact. And, you know, their offensive line isn't great, but they're good enough. And my good buddy George Kritikos tweeted something out today that he'd be the number 12 rushing tailback in the league before contact and like the number 15 after, if you just took those stats as two separate things. And that's unreal. That doesn't happen. That's Adrian Peterson kind of stuff from earlier in his career with Vikings. So I'm a firm believer. I think we all made a big mistake by passing on Hunt early in drafts. And I can't blame any of you because I was doing the same thing.
Yeah, it's funny. I echo those sentiments exactly. You know, that I thought, boy, he's a really nice story on opening night. He looks good. That might be the best game of his career. Yeah, like you said, I mean, I was 100% on board like that. But he's my number one, too. I mean, the numbers are insane. I was asked the other day, who's the NFL MVP after a month? I said Kareem Hunt. I mean, I think he's been the best player in the league, basically, the most valuable. I'm up at number two. And for this whole process, Corey Davis has been my number one rookie. But I'm taking Fournette. Fournette was my number one back. I think that he is a workhorse all day long. I think the Jags will be better next year on offense. And in the meantime, he's quite strong. Doesn't catch a ton of passes, but he isn't even playing a ton of snaps yet, and he's still putting up big numbers.
Yeah, I think it says a lot for this rookie class that the way Kareem Hunt has started this season, which is almost unheard of for a rookie. And I haven't looked at the numbers lately, but I'm sure he's ahead of almost every rookie running back we've seen in NFL history, at least up there with some of the biggest names. Yet it's still a conversation if we would take him over Fournette or over Davis or over right. some of these other guys. So that just goes to show you how great this rookie class is. All right, so I've got the 1.03 pick, and Matt, I think I will go ahead and take Corey Davis. Obviously, a slower start than we would have liked, bothered by the hamstring injuries, but you guys know I'm building around wide receivers. Maybe I would have taken somebody else a week ago, but I don't want to give it away. I don't want to drop any names or anything. We'll see where he goes. So I'm taking Corey Davis at 1.03, and also want to reflect a little bit as we do this on some preseason rookie ADP. So let's just cover these guys really quickly. And this ADP comes from my fantasy league directly before the season started. Leonard Fournette was the number one player off the board. Corey Davis was number two. So they're both still hanging around that value, of course. And Kareem Hunt was number eight. So I think that was post Spencer Ware injury. He had moved up some, but not as far as he has, obviously, at this point.
Would you take Davis or Fournette at two?
I would have taken Fournette.
Okay.
Yeah. So far, I agree with both of your all's picks. I would have Hunt first and Fournette second. Dan, 1.04.
Oh, you guys made it really hard on me. I really wish I had the fifth pick. I know who you're talking about earlier. And if it was a week ago, I'd be thrilled to have Delvin Cook right now. Even with the injury, I think I'm going to take Cook right now. I love the start to his career. I love the situation he's in. It's obvious that the Vikings see him as that workhorse tailback that they've kind of traditionally had with Adrian Peterson, except he plays on three downs. So if not for that injury, I think he would have been the second player in this draft. I would have taken him second after Kareem Hunt. And I'm just fine getting him at four, even though he'll be out the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think a lot of times when you do these things, sometimes the top of the draft is almost a little bit boring because you know how it's going to play out. I think there's really interesting conversations to be had here, both with Hunt, how high up does he go? Does he go to the top as he did in this exercise? And with Cook, how far does he fall? And again, Dan, I agree with you 100%. I would still take Cook. I would still have him fourth out of this rookie group ahead of everyone else. Maybe that changes if some of these other guys start to come on as the season goes along. But for now, I would still take him there. If we're doing a startup at this point, I'm still taking him probably in the late second round.
Yeah, I agree. He's my fourth rookie right now, too. Certainly a week ago would have been the conversation for the second one off the board. I think him and Fournette would probably be a coin flip and he catches more passes. With the fifth pick in the first round, though, I'm going to take Joe Mixon. And we haven't seen the explosion game yet, but he is getting touches. I think it's coming maybe as soon as this week. Who knows?
This might be kind of boring. I, again, agree with this pick. I don't
know. I thought you guys would like McCaffrey.
Dan, I don't know where you're at with Mixon right now, but I think he's the fifth guy off the board. Preseason ADP had Mixon fourth and Cook fifth, just for the record. So we're seeing a little bit of reshuffling, but not too much. Dan, what are your thoughts on Joe Mixon?
I'm a big believer. I think he's got all the talent in the world to be an elite running back, not just a RB1, but a guy that could be one of those top three guys at the position that you lean on. That offensive line is garbage. It's trash. And if they had a real offensive line in Cincinnati, we'd see some of those things that all of us dynasty guys have been waiting for. It hasn't flashed. It hasn't popped. He's going to break a big run. It could be, like Matt said earlier, it could be as early as this week. And we're going to see him break three tackles and go 60 yards. And all of us, oh, yeah, that's the guy. So I agree wholeheartedly. I would have taken him fifth as well. And I think he has the upside to be the number one guy in this class down the road.
I'm up with the 1.06 pick. This one is maybe a little more difficult than some might think for me. I'm still going to take Christian McCaffrey, but I do think it's close with a couple of other players really starting out strongly. McCaffrey's put up some fantasy numbers, mostly as a receiver, which was expected, but that offense, unless they're playing New England, that offense has not looked very good. Everyone can see that. And the concern was, can Cam get it to McCaffrey and Samuel on these short throws? And he really hasn't. It's been a struggle all around for Newton. But for me, I'm still taking McCaffrey at that 1.06 spot. I do think he's lost some value since the season started, though.
Agreed. That's where I have him, too. And I feel like I was right about him. Like, he's a good football player, but I don't think he's going to score many touchdowns. You know, like, he's better for real life than he is for fantasy.
I've seen some Gio Bernard comparisons. I've seen some Theo Riddick comparisons. Is that kind of what we're dealing with McCaffrey?
I think he's Reggie Bush.
Well, that wouldn't be too bad.
I mean, Bush might be a little better between the tackles than Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, true. I remember the first preseason game McCaffrey played, there was a lot of buzz. And I remember just looking at him going, he looks little.
I said the same thing.
Yeah, he looks little all of a sudden, you know. But he would have my pick here too.
Do you guys see a teardrop between these guys and everybody else?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. No. Well, that makes it. So you think McCaffrey. And, okay. All right. I think I know who that is. Dan, you're up at 1.7. Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It might sound a little goofy that I'm going to take him, but I've been in love with him forever. And I really think he's a top five player in this draft class. And the fact that he hasn't gotten on the field is the only reason why we're not talking about him that way anymore. There's a couple other guys worth considering here, but I can't wait to see Mike Williams. Like you, Ryan, I like to build around wide receivers, and I just don't want to risk it, even though we have every third pick in this thing, that he's even going to make it back to me when I'm up in just a few picks. And I want him on all my teams, including the fake ones that we do on the Dynasty Blueprint. So I'm going to take Mike Williams here, and you guys can shoot a hole in that if you'd like.
I think it's kind of tough to do that, even with the injury, with the crowded situation in Los Angeles on that roster. I don't even know if we can say in Los Angeles. What a crazy situation that is. They're kind of in flux. But I don't think he's lost a ton of value. If you're talking a format like this where rookies only, if you're looking at a startup, then yeah, maybe he's falling two or three rounds, which could present some nice value. But in this, I certainly think he's still in that 7, 8, 9 conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he was my 1.6 before the season started. And he hasn't done anything wrong to hurt himself. It's just, to me, Hunt went ahead of him. And I think Kamara is the obvious pick to me. I mean, that to get Kamara to – I wish I knew now what I knew then, that – If you could get these guys at 1.6, 1.7, even 1.8, where Williams would be my 8th and Kamara's my 7th, but I think Kamara's closer to McCaffrey than he is to everyone else. You know, the guys behind him on my board.
Yeah, you know, I wasn't a huge Kamara guy coming out of Tennessee. I just didn't believe. And if it weren't for the situation that he's in with Sean Payton and that muddled mess that they have in their backfield, I think he could have pushed Mike Williams for that selection where I took him at 7. But because of that, and because he's going to depend so much on catching passes, I just don't think he has the same kind of upside that Mike Williams could present down the road. It's close for me. And I like Kamara a whole lot more than I used to, but you know, I just give the edge to Williams slightly.
So on this one, I would agree with Matt. I would take Kamara at 7, and then I would take Williams at 8. And then I think we're seeing another, maybe another small teardrop.
Oh, there's one more.
9.
Ryan.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing.
This is
somebody.
A 3-player tier.
I hope I get the right one then. just to hit back on preseason ADP, Mike Williams was number 6, as Matt mentioned, and Kamara was number 11. So he's moved up a little bit. At 9, I'm going to take Evan Engram. He was my tight end 1 throughout the process. I had him ranked over Njoku and OJ Howard, and I definitely feel really good about that so far. He's a wide receiver with a tight end designation. Brandon Marshall, I think, is done. I've said that on this show before, and I think he's kind of showing that. So yeah, I love the situation. Eli's I don't know. Eli might be done too, but he, at least he's playing a little bit better these past couple games. So I'll go with Evan Engram at the 9 spot, and his preseason ADP was 13. So he's also climbing a little bit. Dan, is that who you were thinking about?
That's a good pick. Yeah. I think he belongs in the same conversation with those other guys. Rookie tight ends don't come on like this. We don't see that kind of stuff. And he's on the field full time in a good offense, or at least what should be a good offense anyway. And I just echo all the sentiments you said there, Ryan.
So was he your third player in that tier?
Absolutely. Yep.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
I was hoping you'd pass, that you'd go somewhere else, so I'd get to go off on Engram.
That's who I would have taken too.
No. Okay, glad good.
Glad I could snipe you on a landslide. All right, Dan, you're back at the 1.10 pick.
I think this is a big tier break. It's like very, very long, big difference. You'd do anything you could to trade up the one pick to get Evan Engram, because it falls off big time. And maybe after week one or even week two, we would have had a couple guys in the conversation here. It's really close for me who I want to take. And I'm going to actually have to adjust my rankings a little bit, because I'm going to take Juju Smith-Schuster. I really like his playing time. I like how much the Steelers seem to like him. And playing in that offense, I think there's the upside, not necessarily as a rookie, but down the road, for him to take the leap. So I think anybody who listens to the DLF Dynasty podcast will know I'm a big Zay Jones fan. Because of this exercise, I'm going to have to change my rankings. I had him side by side, Jones, then Smith-Schuster. I'm going to have to flip that now.
Juju was the other guy I was tempted to take at 9 instead of Engram. So I definitely like the pick there. I think even in just a few months, he's kind of had some ups and downs in dynasty value. As soon as the draft, NFL draft ended, he was a mid first rounder and really lost value throughout the entire summer. Dan, in your late rookie drafts that you mentioned, was he like a mid-second rounder?
Mid-second rounder. He went 17th and 18th, and I desperately tried to move up in both of them to get him. Actually, Evan Engram went in the second round in both of them too, and that's the guy I chose first, and then tried hard to get back up for Juju and just couldn't do it. So, you know, you talked about the ups and downs of Juju Smith-Schuster. You know, if we go back even farther, you're a Devy guy, obviously, Ryan. There was a point where we thought he was going to possibly be the number one pick or a top five pick in rookie draft. So, you know, the roller coaster had been rolling a long time on Juju Smith-Schuster, and I think it's still on its way up. I really like the Pittsburgh landing spot. I love being with Big Ben, and I really think they need him in that offense.
Yeah, to give you some Steelers intel, you know, I mean, I'm down at the facility a couple times a week and doing Steelers radio. They just think he's too good to keep off the field. And he's really in the process right now of making Eli Rogers inconsequential. I mean, it basically is the slot job is his. He's learning on the fly. He's taking some penalties. But he's the youngest player in the NFL, too. You know, I mean, who knows how long Ben will be around, but I think Juju will be around for a long time. And they're really high on him. He's not who I would have taken there. I would have taken Tariq Cohen, who I'm going to take now. But Juju was next. I just think Cohen's for real. You know, it's not the greatest situation, but who else do they have? Or all of a sudden, are they going to sign two great receivers? I don't think he's going away in the near future as a major component of their offense.
I really feel like Cohen could have gone a lot higher in this exercise a week or two ago, or if the coaching staff would use him correctly. The game flow last Thursday night suggested that Cohen should be on the field. He should be catching screens. He should be lined up in the slot. And he didn't get any of those touches that I expected him to get with him down by two or three touchdowns. So I think that coaching staff actually holds Cohen back. And that's odd to say after watching their week one game against the Steelers and his huge usage then in a close game.
That staff might not be around long, though.
You're right. Yeah, for sure.
I want to tell some people about Loot Crate. We've told you about these guys pretty much since Ryan and I have been doing this great podcast. But to be the envy of your friends and get 100% exclusive crates at lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint. Enter our code dynastyblueprint, and you're going to save a couple bucks off an already cheap subscription. October's Loot Crate theme is mythical. So if you're on the quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles, Loot Crate has it. It's the best surprise you know is coming every month, delivered right to your door. Loot Crate offers an epic range of pop culture items for less than $20 a month, and even cheaper when you use our code. If you're more of a fanatical fashionata, then try Loot Wear. Those are monthly wearables and accessories with cult classics and your favorite franchises. If you want to get fancy and get a bigger box with even bigger loot in Loot Crate DX, and this is my favorite, if you want to geek out your pets, try Loot Pets. The offer expires October 19th, 9 o'clock Pacific. So you hear stories, the whispers of creatures and beings beyond imagination. Join us as we peer into the shadows and look into other realms for October's truly mythical collection. Get unreal items from Marvel, Ghostbusters, Stranger Things, and Buffy the Vampire Slayer. One lucky subscriber will also win a mega crate of seriously epic proportions. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe to receive that month's crate. And when the cutoff happens, that's it. It's over. So go to lootcrate.com/dynastyblueprint. Enter our code DynastyBlueprint, and you will make an already cheap subscription a couple bucks a month cheaper.
So earlier in the offseason, I really liked the late first round range. I could get Alvin Kamara there sometimes. I could get Juju there sometimes. That's not happening in this rookie draft do-over. I don't really love any of these guys at 112. I think I'm going to take a player that I've really changed my mind on, somebody who I didn't really want any shares of. I avoided during rookie drafts. I'll take Cooper Kupp. I think he will continue to produce. I've made the age jokes myself that he's older than a lot of these second and third year wide receivers that we see succeeding around the league, but he's producing right now. He can help your fantasy team right now. And that's pretty valuable at the end of the, first round. And just to hit back on those preseason ADPs, Kupp was 25 overall. So sitting just outside of the second round. So he goes from kind of the end of the second round range to the end of the first. And Tariq Cohen is the fun one. His preseason ADP was 51. So he goes from 51 to 11. We can all feel bad that we passed on him many, many times.
I have a local league that I play in that has an early draft and a late draft. And a guy by the name of Corey is in that league. He is a Bears fan, but he took Tariq Cohen in the third round of both of those drafts. One was just after the NFL draft. The other was in mid-August, and he's laughing to the bank. So there are guys out there that were Tariq Cohen fans, and he talked about it religiously after taking him the second time, that they call him the human joystick. So there were guys, and maybe it was his Bears fandom, but there were a few of them out there, I guess.
Yeah, there were a few. John Moore, formerly of RotoViz, now with PFF. We've had John on the show. He was he had a few conversations with me about Tariq Cohen, and I guess I just ignored all of those because
John's a smart guy, Ryan. You should really listen to me talk.
I don't know what I was thinking. He was trying to give me some advice, and I ignored him. So good job, John.
Yeah. Ryan, right, you took Kupp, though, right?
I took Cooper Kupp, yeah.
Yeah. I think that's really solid. I mean, you got to think he's going to be a contributor every year, catch a lot of passes, move the chains, know exactly what he is type of guy in a good offense.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say he's the player with a ton of upside, but we've already seen him perform as, you know, in that wide receiver three range that you can plug him in bye weeks or throw him in your lineup if you need to in the right matchup. So we are going to do a second round here, and we'll do that same order. So, Dan, you're starting us off at the 2.01 pick.
You know, I've said over the last few years that one of the biggest lessons I've learned is to not hold too much onto what I thought during the draft process. And in the past, that's meant a year, 2 years, even 3 years later when players are released or they're free in trades as throw-ins, I still want to add them just in case. And it's gotten to the point now where even a few weeks into the season, I try not to do that too much. But I went ahead and took Mike Williams early, and now I'm going to take my guy Zay Jones. And I know he's going through some growing pains there in Buffalo. And there are plays, specifically the potential touchdown against Carolina, the drop that he had last week or the week before, where you scratch your head and say, wow, I thought this guy, the thing with Zay Jones was, yeah, he's not fast, he's not great, but he's got these amazing hands. And those mistakes stick with me as well. But all the things that I seen in the process leading up to the draft and why I liked him so much, I still see when I watch Buffalo play, and he, you know, he's so good off the line of scrimmage. It's really unique to watch him. The next time you get a chance to watch him in press coverage and how he dips his shoulder when the corner is trying to get his hands on him and reroute him. And he's so smooth and able to kind of sidestep that just by dipping his shoulder on that first and second step. And that's not something you see a lot from rookie receivers. So I still hold out hope. I have him all over the place. And in the places I don't have him, I'm going to be trying to buy Zay Jones low. So I think he belongs at the top of the second round. I know a lot of guys who thought he belonged in the mid second, even before the slow start, would probably say he belongs at the beginning of the third even. I really think he belongs here in a muddled up group of players that nobody jumps off the page for me.
I'm not a big Zay Jones fan, but you got to think targets are coming, especially this next month or so. Not this make or break time for him, but I think we'll learn a lot more about Zay Jones with Jordan Matthews out. In a way, he's kind of their number one right now, which is sad for Buffalo, sorry to say, but you know, I mean, he's going to get targets.
I think Jones, as far as his dynasty value, has kind of suffered from unreal expectations, I guess. He was in this situation and he comes in and we all say, yeah, maybe he's a little bit raw. Maybe he has, you know, he'll have a year to learn. You're going to take him in the late first or early second and then see what he is down the road. And then they trade Sammy Watkins. And then just all of a sudden he looks like he has a chance to be maybe their top targeted guy. And people are chasing him in dynasty and in redraft leagues. And because he struggled early, like many other rookies, we're being a little bit maybe too hard on Zay Jones. I'm with Matt, not a guy I was ever really after in dynasty leagues. I don't think I ended up with him anywhere. But according to our preseason ADP, maybe his value is actually increasing. He was had an ADP of 14. Dan takes him at 13, so still in that same range. And I think that just goes to show us that, yeah, guys like Hunt and Kamara and Ingram, they're going to gain value even after a month. But we shouldn't see guys falling completely off the map. Players shouldn't be falling from, you know, from a first rounder to a third rounder or something like that. That it's right. Just too early to give up on any rookies.
Matt, that being said, if this was real life, I would be happy that Jones went.
Yeah. Yeah.
Matt, I'd be happy too, because I'd be the guy with him.
Right. Right. It's their own. Someone who hasn't shown up huge, but was, you know, at the 1-8 neighborhood just a month ago. O.J. Howard, young quarterback, still a good situation. Rookie tight ends don't do anything, so I don't hold that against him. I mean, to get him early second round, that's a lot of talent.
So my concern with Howard, at least in comparison with the other two tight ends in that top tier, was how much is he going to be used as a pass catcher, not only because of Cameron Brate there, but because he is such a strong blocker, and that's what we've seen. The majority of his snaps, he's been in line blocking. Is that a concern for you at all long term?
I guess a little, and their line isn't the greatest. I would think that there's a good chance they'll address their tackle situation in the offseason. Donovan Smith's a really bad player. But I also don't think he used, the 22nd pick overall in an NFL draft for a blocking tight end. I mean, I think they have bigger plans for the guy.
Yeah, that's a good point. So Howard's
Do you prefer
preseason...
Njoku, though?
I would. Yeah, I would prefer Njoku. Yeah.
They're just so bad right now. That team's such a train wreck through a month.
Well, Brownies. I mean, I still think they're – do you still feel like they're headed in the right direction with all this youth and these
picks? I don't know. I wish I felt a little better about them. I mean, they're 1-20 in their last, or 1-19 in the last 20 games, and not even competitive this year. I mean, I wish that they were showing more signs of life. I'm not ready to, I'm not ready to abandon the whole philosophy, and I commend them for doing it. And I think it's a really bold move, but I thought they'd be further along.
Yeah, that's fair. I would have taken Njoku. My rankings on those three have not changed, Ingram, Njoku, Howard. And I will actually take Njoku here at the 2.03 pick. Preseason ADP Njoku was 12 and Howard was 7. So they've both fallen a little bit, both off to somewhat slow starts. And Njoku has a couple of touchdowns. He's sharing time with Seth DeValve. I would really like to see those two guys on the field together. I know I've seen some of those same sentiments, I think from Evan Silva, I believe. And when you have so few weapons and you've got a couple of good young tight ends, it seems like you would try to get them both on the field at the same time, but they're not doing that for some reason. So I'll still take Njoku here at the early portion of the second round. And Dano, we're back to you at 2.04.
And I would have taken Njoku too over Howard, and by one spot though. If Njoku went, I would take Howard right after that. So I think they're going about right where they should go for sure. That leaves me with Kenny Golladay. I'll take Golladay here. I think this is about the perfect spot for him. Actually, these bursts that we've seen from him, the big plays, the catches, he just needs more playing time. I think he's another guy that is a buy in Dynasty. And if he has that stretch of 4 to 6 weeks where he doesn't do a whole lot, he'd be a great trade target. I think he's just waiting for more opportunities in Detroit. I can see him pairing up with Matthew Stafford for a long stretch here. And when he gets comfortable and when he gets his feet under him full time, and he's not just that deep threat, I think he has a chance to be not only that guy that can stretch the field, but also the 7, 8, 9 target a game type receiver. He's just got Marvin Jones ahead of him on the depth chart.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talent there. Quarterbacks locked up long-term, good offense, deep threat. I'm with you. I mean, he was my best receiver still on the board. I'm up now, right?
You are 2.05 pick, and for the record, Golladay's. I would have gone Golladay as well. His preseason ADP was 29, so another riser, as we probably would have projected. So a great value for people who took a shot on him in the offseason. All right, 2.05, Matt.
Deshaun Watson. I'm not sure that he's good. I didn't like him at all coming out of school. I liked all three other quarterbacks better. I think these two games are as much about defenses playing poorly as him playing well. But he runs. He's put up huge numbers the last 2 weeks. It's going to take massive things to get him off the field. He's clearly the starter. I'm not big on taking quarterbacks early, but this guy's a fantasy jackpot.
Yeah, I like the pick. I think this is the perfect spot to do it. Lots of question marks after this. Plenty of talented guys, but whether it's injury, whether it's situation, I think you can certainly make a case for taking – I almost said a sure thing at quarterback in the mid-second. I don't know if we can say sure thing yet, but he has certainly been impressive after kind of a rocky start in the first game and a half we saw from him. I am up at the 2.06 pick. This is not a guy I would have projected that I might take in this exercise, because he was a player I avoided strongly in rookie drafts, and maybe that had more to do with where he was going then. But I'm going to take John Ross. His preseason ADP was 10. I'm getting him here at 18 in the middle of the second round. Obviously been bothered by the injuries, as he was often in college, so that's clearly a concern. But Matt, kind of like you said with OJ Howard, you don't take a guy in the first round, and in the Bengals case in the top 10 picks of the first round, and not use him. So once he is healthy, I think we'll see him with plenty of playing time. The Bengals need some weapons. With Eifert hurt again, that offense is not looking good despite the coaching change. So this is not a strong case for Ross. This is basically the earliest I would take him because, like I said, he is a player that I had concerns about, but I think this is the point where he becomes a value.
I was torn between Ross and Watson, to be very honest, and they were guys that never would have been on my team before the league or before the season started, but you know, to get Ross this late, I mean, he was the ninth pick in the draft. I mean, he didn't do anything wrong between now and then. It's a great pick.
Well, I think the injuries are a real concern. They obviously were in college, yeah. and now he's hurt already. I think he's actually been hurt a couple times already. He had the preseason injury that kept him out of action, and then he comes back and fumbles the ball and gets benched and gets hurt. I don't even know the story, but it's nothing good for sure. Dan, you're up at 2.07.
Yeah, you know, for the record, I wouldn't have. I've been relatively low on Ross too, and a lot of it is because, you know, it's really hard to trust a speed guy who has leg problems and consistent leg problems. And that's, it just screams to me that's not going to work out all that well. I hope I'm wrong, because it'd be nice to see that offense with a true deep threat and AJ Green be able to have a little bit of room to do his thing. But that Cincinnati offense is just a mess. And, you know, we have Mixon high and Ross has been considered high. I wish they could fix that offensive line so we could really see, and Eifert could stay healthy, so we could really see the potential that offense has. I mean, with all that said,
can I stop you real quick? I apologize. Don't tell me if you guys disagree, but for at this point of the rookie draft, I'm looking at the tight ends. I'm looking at the quarterbacks. I'm looking at the wide receivers, and I don't really like any of them. I, at this point of the draft, for like the next 5-10 picks, I would just throw darts at running backs. Do you guys agree? And if not, just don't say anything and pick whoever you like. But
no, you stole, I would go at a running back. You stole the words out of my mouth, Matt, because I'm looking at the list too, and I'm not a huge on taking the quarterbacks early either. But I was kind of hoping that Watson would get back to me, because I thought it was a good time to roll the dice on him as well. But you took him with the very next pick. That's why I'm going to, like, the opposite of what I said with Ross. He was a little higher on boards early in the process. I wasn't real high on Samaje Perine. But at this point, it feels like you might as well take a shot, throw a dart at a running back. And if I'm going to take one, it's probably Perine. I know we haven't seen a lot of real great things out of him in the playing time that he's got. Rob Kelly has outplayed him two or threefold. But I really feel like you said, you got to take your shot on somebody. And if it's going to be a running back, I might as well take the shot on Perine. So that's who I'll take here.
He wouldn't have been the back I took, but he's right in the conversation. What about you, Ryan?
Yeah, Perine is a guy who has fallen. His preseason ADP was 9, as we all presumed he would win that starting job in Washington. That didn't happen. And when he has gotten on the field, he's but I do agree with Dan, a pretty good value here. But yeah, there's at least one running back I like more. Matt, I want to see if you take him at 2.08.
Yeah, that'd have been Foreman. I don't think Miller's a huge obstacle. I think having a running quarterback really helps a running game short-term, long-term. I didn't love Foreman. I still don't. I just think that he can be the goal line guy. He can score touchdowns. He's going to get more opportunity. But there's about 5 backs here, including Perine, that I all think are could hit or are worth the pick.
Foreman was the guy I would have taken. I like him over Perine. Agree. I've never been a Miller guy, and he's already kind of eating into Lamar Miller's touches. I disagree about the other running backs. None of those guys are very intriguing to me. I don't see a ton of opportunity. Ooh, this is getting ugly. At 2.09, I think I'm going to stick with, kind of like Dan said earlier, stick with my original evaluation. I'm going to take Curtis Samuel, the wide receiver, running back, whatever he is for Carolina. Haven't seen a ton of opportunity for him yet, but I think he can make an impact. You know, maybe he's just a gadget player, Matt. I know you have those concerns about him, but again, end of second, I'm going to take a shot on a guy I liked in the preseason.
He was my highest ranked receiver, but there was a couple backs I'd have taken ahead of him.
All right, we each have one pick left. So if you have a favorite guy, you better get him now. Dan, 2.10.
You know, there's a whole bunch of guys I'd love to talk about, but I should stay true to what I think. And he is a guy that I like as well, and it's Tywan Taylor. So I'm going to go back to the receiver as well. Another guy that I liked in the pre-draft process. I liked his landing spot. I thought there was a long-term potential to kind of be that playmaking slot guy. And he just needs a little bit of time to mature and grow into that role. We've seen it a little bit already that the Titans coaching staff is looking to try to create a few touches here and there. And it's only one or two a game, but I think there's the potential for a team to be creative with a guy like him. And I like that. So, I rarely like to get guys that need force the ball to get the ball. I like to have guys that can get open on them on their own, can make offense happen by themselves. But it really feels like Taylor has the upside to get open out of the slot. I think he's a PPR type guy, and I'll take him here with my last pick.
All right. I like the Taylor pick a lot. There's a lot of wide receivers kind of grouped into that what was late second, early third round range back in the offseason, and Taylor was my favorite of that group. So I'm on board with that pick, Dan. In fact, that's probably who I would have taken to end this draft. I've got to find a new guy while Matt's
making
his.
A guy to me, Ryan. He was a guy that was like neck and neck with Cooper Kupp. They were the same kind of guy before the breakout for Kupp started. So now yeah. I feel pretty good a whole round later getting him and just having to wait for it. And maybe it'll never come, but you don't pay that high a price at the end of the second round.
No, all good points. There's a handful of backs here I'm intrigued with. I'm going to go with a guy who I don't love the talent. I ended up, I think, taking him in the fourth round before the season started. But I really think Wayne Gallman's going to be the top guy in New York. And there the running game stinks, but at least he's a run hard into the line of scrimmage, get two more type of guy, and maybe he can get some sort of semblance of a running game going. Again, I don't love the player, but I like in redraft, I'm picking him up now because I think he's going to be their lead back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Almost by default. I mean, Paul Perkins is bad. Vereen, I had high hopes for Vereen this year, and he started out well. I think in the first week he got double-digit targets, if I'm remembering correctly, and then his role has diminished almost by the week. So I'm not sure what has caused that, but they certainly need some help in that backfield, and maybe Gallman is the answer. I don't think he's a future fantasy starter that you can lock in every week and be comfortable with, but yeah, maybe he is a guy that you can use on those bye weeks or at least getting some touches in the middle of the season and things like that.
I mean, if everything hits for the guy, maybe he's an RB2 for fantasy.
Right. All right. Before I make that last pick, let me review some of those preseason ADPs. Deontay Foreman, Matt took him with the 20th pick. His preseason ADP was 16. So he's a player I feel like has gained value since the season started, but in this dropped a little bit. Again, that just goes to show you the strength of the rookie class overall. Curtis Samuel, obviously a player who has dropped, but only a little bit. He went from 17 to 21. Tywan Taylor moving up from 33. Dan took him at 22. Wayne Gallman, preseason ADP of 30. He's up to 23. And the player I'm going to take had a preseason ADP of 20. I'm going to take him at 24, the last pick of the draft. That's Jamal Williams. And again, just kind of by default, not a guy I love. I think actually I've probably had the other guy there, Aaron Jones, ranked higher at some point. But I can see some opportunity, obviously, with the Montgomery injury. That's still a little cloudy. There's some talk he could be out a month, and then the next day it says we hear reports that he's going to play this week. So who knows what is going to happen there? But Montgomery, as much as I like and have been impressed with him this season so far, you just keep seeing him limp off the field, and then he comes back in a couple plays later. So that's going to happen one too many times. And then a guy like Williams is going to get a big opportunity in that high powered offense. So not a player I love. I do like the spot though. And at the end of the second round, it's hard to say no to that. Dan, I know you're a big Packers fan. Any thoughts on Williams, Jones, Montgomery, any of those guys?
Yeah, I would have taken Jones ahead of him. It really feels to me like Jones is a lot closer to Montgomery than Williams is. He can fill that same role, and that coaching staff isn't going to change that entire offense and put that thumper in. I really don't feel it. And I kind of feel like if Jones gets an opportunity to play a little bit more over this next week or two or however long Montgomery's out, he's going to blow Williams away. So I wrote about Jones in the rookie report card this week, and I finished it with that I felt that he's going to jump Williams on the depth chart. The offense doesn't have to change nearly as much with him in there, and he has the burst that Williams does not show. Williams regularly looks like a plotter between the tackles, and Jones looks like the kind of guy that can turn what would have been a Williams 3-yard run into an 8-yard run, and maybe an 8-yard run into a touchdown.
Yeah, I agree with you. I liked him more than Williams. I liked him more than Williams in the preseason, or even before they put pads on, and Williams went past him. But my concern with taking Williams there, Ryan, is kind of like we were said, was if Jones gets like these next two games to be the man, we might totally forget about Williams. And I also liked Mack, Connor, and maybe McGuire, talking about coming out of nowhere, more than either one of those Packer backs.
Yeah, I did want to go over a few of the players who were not selected, but the one I wanted to highlight and ask you guys about was Chris Carson. We saw him have a really strong start to his season and essentially earn the starting job there in Seattle before that injury on Sunday night. So I think it's clear. Do you guys both agree that he would have been selected in this draft if not for the injury?
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. Top 15.
Where do you think he would have gone if that fourth quarter injury had not happened?
I worked on my rankings before they played on Sunday Night Football. So before the injury, and I had moved him up to 19 and was in the conversation of, man, he's right in the mix with the couple guys in front of him and behind him. So I think he belonged at the end of the first, or at the end of the second round, excuse me.
And Matt, you said maybe even as high as top 15 for you.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here thinking, would I have taken him over O.J. Howard?
Wow.
So you took O.J. Howard at 2-2. If he's the starter in Seattle, of course, prior to that injury. Yeah, I think that's fair. Early second round range, I think, is probably about where he was being valued. I saw him traded for a future second round pick several different times across leagues over the past week or two.
I find that interesting. I'm not a huge Carson guy, and I tried to get on board with him, and I thought moving him up to 19 was pretty aggressive, actually. His running style is not conducive to a real, you know, a big playmaker for sure. That up running style lends him to a lot of big hits, and that's kind of what helped get this injury. He's also not a big play, you know, playmaker. You're never going to see that 40-yard run from him. He'll always get caught from behind. He did in college. He definitely will on Sundays as well. So, you know, I like the story and everything. I'm not sure that his run as the starting tailback in Seattle was long in the tooth, though.
Yeah, they easily could take one the second round next year and poof, he's gone.
Right.
If he hadn't gotten hurt.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the decision dynasty owners have to make now is, do you even keep this guy on your roster? Of course, if you have an open IR spot, yes, obviously throw him on IR and see what happens. But if he has to take up a roster spot for the rest of the year, that's already a crowded backfield. While they did basically choose Carson over Lacy and over Rawls and everybody else there, I'm not sure those choices were all that great. I don't know how much that says about Carson. And I could almost see, you know, maybe they keep Procise and hope he can stay healthy, but they almost just need to start over it with that entire backfield.
You guys are talking me out of taking him over O.J. Howard, too. I think your points are really strong. Hey, three other injured dudes. that I would start to consider around this neighborhood, third round, that have been out of sight, out of mind. Am I crazy for thinking Joe Williams, Ardarius Stewart, D.D. Westbrook?
I think Joe Williams was just an imposter. You know, that there was the
make-believe.
Yeah, there was the great story about him from Peter King and the time he spent with San Francisco coaching staff and during the draft.
Right.
And, you know, pound the table and let's get this guy. And now everybody's taking him in the second round, myself included. So, yeah, Joe Williams, I don't think deserves a roster spot at all. I do still like Ardarius Stewart. I like D.D. Westbrook. He is on the IR, of course, but he's going to play this year. He's eligible to come back in a month. I'm not on board with Williams, but I like the other two. And even deeper than that, I still like Carlos Henderson.
Yeah.
Still like Josh Reynolds. Some other guys that we did not choose that had some decent preseason ADP. Marlon Mack was 19. Mm-hmm.
Everett.
Everett was 31. Patrick Mahomes, 24.
Trubisky this week, yeah.
Right. Trubisky, 28. You mentioned Stewart. He was 32. Kaiser, 35. And your guy over there in Pittsburgh, James Conner, 23.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's really a whole slew of players that I would love to take a stab at in the third, if we had a third round of something like this. And if you were holding this draft for real, I'd be buying up as many of those picks as I could. A lot of them we've mentioned, but Marlon Mack is the one that kind of jumps out to me as probably my next pick. Everett, of course. Chris Godwin is a guy with long-term upside that isn't getting a whole lot of love right now. He belongs in that third round. The quarterbacks that you talked about, I like Elijah McGuire a lot. Another guy that's really late that I think will get a chance at some point is Josh Malone in Cincinnati. I think he has a lot of long-term upside as well.
All right, Dan, great stuff. Really, really enjoyed this. This is always fun. Thanks for joining us. And tell our listeners where they can find your work.
Yeah, I really appreciate you guys having me on. It was a lot of fun. It was a fun exercise for sure. I do my stuff over at dynastyleaguefootball.com. I'm one of the podcast hosts, so you can hear me on the pod every week. We release on Sunday nights now, so we try to be one of the first ones out, getting some of that dynasty, the dynasty ups and downs from the week out there. And then I also write that rookie report card that we talked about earlier. Every week I talk about a couple of rookies, usually try to pick a couple of guys that had some of the biggest games of the week. I'm glad I got a chance to write about Dalvin Cook before he got hurt. Didn't waste a good one there. But every week I talk about a couple guys, usually end up at the end of the season talking about 40 players. So we get to revisit our thoughts from the beginning of the season and then grade their upside both for the rest of the 2017 season and throughout their career.
Good stuff.
All right, Dan. Thanks again for joining us, and we'll be back next week with more Dynasty Blueprint.